Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we do. We say, thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us everything in your Son. Thank you, Lord, that everything is complete in Him. Thank you, Lord, that we live by faith. Thank you, Lord, for the grace, Lord God, that is poured forth, that we just believe you, Lord. And thank you, God, that truly, as you said, you've severed us out from among those people. You've severed us from them to make us your own. Lord, let us rejoice in this. Thank you that you called us and you've chosen us, Jesus. Thank you that it's all in you, all in you, all because of you, all to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise, Jesus. May you be glorified in you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you'd open your Bibles today, we'll go to Ephesians chapter 6. And I thank the Lord for the precious convention time that He gave us and all the precious sermons, the word, the music, and all that fellowship that we have been given, and thanking God for the wonderful love and the encouragement. And today we're going to rejoice in just a little bit, but a magnificent part of where all of that double portion really came from. And here we are in the high water mark of the Word of God. And here we are at the conclusion of the high water mark of the Word of God. And we know that this is the high water mark, and see this so clearly. Again, this wonderful epistle given to Paul, and again, the message of the mystery of Christ in the church, even more specifically, the message, the proposal that had been given and hidden of Jesus Christ and His bride. Thanking the Lord that so sweetly as it's revealed to us that the prophets of old, they wrote these things for us. They wanted to look into them. They wanted to know the depths of what they were writing. But as it's been revealed to us that it wasn't given to them. It was only given to them to write these things for us. Praise be to God. That's how much He loves you. That's how much He cares for you. And that's the purpose and the full purpose of God that, again, He's given. And all the provision to take it all and all the power to make it happen. But here we have in this 10th verse, the conclusion of it. And He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What He's saying here is to conclude it all, to wrap this completely up. After all of what I have been encouraged to you of the height of the Word of God, this is it. This is the strength. This is the power of the exceeding grace that works all the truth. This is the strength. This is the power of the exceeding grace that works in you the nothing withheld gospel. This is the strength, this is the power of the exceeding grace of God that performs it all in you. And brothers and sisters, what this has meant is it's not just for your head only, praise be to God, but this is what makes it alive and living in you. To make it very clear, what He's saying, increase and grow in the Word of God, and increase and grow in the Holy Ghost. Did you hear that? Increase and grow in the Word of God, and increase and grow in the Holy Ghost. Now, this has been a very captivating time, and I have to tell you, it's been a captivating time for me as the Lord has brought forth this Bible study in John. How sweetly to be encouraged that it's the Holy Ghost that empowers us. It's the Holy Ghost and that wonderful strengthening and quickening that only that one of the Godhead can bring for us to be led into all truth. Magnificent, isn't it? Thanks be to God, I don't have to wonder how it's going to happen or where I'm going to get it. I know exactly where it's going to come from, the only place. And thanks be to God, I know He's the only one that can do it. And thanks be to God, I know through the ministering of the Holy Ghost that it is God's divine will and purpose, and there isn't anything that's going to stop it but unbelief. Thanks be to God. So I know through that it is the Holy Ghost that empowers me to be led into all truth. And then it's the Holy Ghost that sheds all the love of God that is right here in this wonderful Word of God and sheds it abroad in my heart. He makes it like a geyser, a fountain that, praise the Lord, does not need to end in my heart. And you think about why. Why does he do all this? Why does the Lord so divinely give us this time? Why did he ascend so sweetly to the right hand? He said, look, if I don't go, I can't send him. And I must go because I must send him. It's going to be because I need the lover. I want the lover to come forth. I need my bride. I need my wife. And only the Holy Ghost can minister these things. Only the Holy Ghost can foster these things and grow these things up in our hearts and encourage us all the way along and not allow us to be discouraged, because he takes the things of Christ. He takes the mind of Christ. He takes the love of Christ, and he makes it known unto us. He shows it unto us. He grows it into our heart. What this is all about, is why it's all been given, is for us to fall in love, to fall in love with the great love of Jesus for us. And that's the truth. I'm falling in love with his love for me. I'm so thankful. A large part of my life was, oh, I'm thankful I love you. I'm thankful I love you. And I still thank him that I love him. But now I'm really falling in love with his love for me. I'm falling in love with the knowledge of the love of Christ for me. It's breathtaking. It's incredible. And it's true, brothers and sisters, if we really want to fall in love with Jesus, the only way is to know and believe in the immensity of his love for you. From the very beginning, when we started that wonderful relationship, when he, again, by his grace, saved us, it was because I believed in his love. I believe that God so loved the world that he gave me Jesus. I believe that God so loved me that he gave his son to die on the cross for me. I got that as a very young child. I see kids in here, 3, 4, 5 years of old age. They can understand, they can comprehend because of the Spirit, because of the will of God, not because that child is gifted. No, it's because they got the gift of love. The world got that wonderful gift of love. For God so loved the world, he gave his son, his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I got that, and I see these kids getting that. That simplicity of the love of Jesus. And it never stops, it just grows. And it's the knowledge of that love. See, if nobody told me about believing in Jesus, if nobody told me about a Savior, how would I have ever known? Amen? How would I have ever known? But there was a witness. There was, praise God, there was love. And God was going to have it so that all men would be without excuse. All men. And the Lord brought that wonderful encouragement. And I'm confident through my mom and through my little Sunday school teachers and all of those that praise the Lord at that moment, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I believe that God so loved me, he gave me his son. And that's where it all began, in that wonderful love. Isn't that amazing? And then that love, it just continues to grow by the grace of God. We understand that, oh Lord, you gave me a Savior for everything. But then, thank you, Jesus. Again, just understanding in that Savior, my goodness, I have a Father. I have the Father. I have that comfort of the Father that I can go to and I can just go to freely and seek him out in the name of Jesus and call out to my Father and say, Father, in your Son's name, I need help. I'm afraid or I have a need, and that never stops. I'm so thankful that I know that I'm always my Father's son. Always. Nothing will ever separate me from that. But then we grow on in that love. We know that great love that we read about. And even in John, as he told those disciples, he said, I haven't called you servants. I call you friends. I don't want people to be forced to come in here and to do things for me. I want things that you do with me because of love. I want you to take part of me because of love, not because of fear. And thanks be to God in that friendship. And it's just as Moses so sweetly, he spoke to him face to face as a friend. Thanks be to God. And thank the Lord that I know that wasn't just made for him. Thanks be to God, that's for me. And I understand it wasn't because of anything I did. It was because of everything that brother just sang about. The grace of God. The very grace of God, the very plan of God, which is the grace of God. That he didn't need me, but he wanted me. See, that's what's so beautiful. No, he didn't need me. But more beautiful than he didn't need me, he wanted me. He desired me. He made me, praise be to God, what he loved in his son. Again, in his son. All in his son. And thank the Lord that, my goodness, I'm a partaker. Thank the Lord that he's been made the very righteousness of God for me. Praise the Lord. But then again, that love didn't just stop there. The love continues. And here we are in the high water mark of the Word of God. The depth, the height, the width, the breadth, the length, the everything about the love, to know the love of Christ. See, through all of those loves we just talked about, we knew the love of God. But now I'm going to know the love of Christ. As it says back there in Romans 8, the Lord's ministering to me right now. He said, and as children, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So you're an heir of the Father as a child. But we know that we are joint heirs as husband and wife with Christ. If so be that we'll suffer together with him, that we also may be glorified together with him. So thank you, Lord, once again, in the beautiful love that now you've invited us into, to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ. To know the love of the bridegroom. So here we are. And we thank God that this is the truth that we have. If we really want to fall in love with Jesus, the only way to know it is to believe in the immensity of his love for us. To really fall in love with him, we have to know the love story. We have to know how deeply and madly in love he is with us. But more specifically for you and for me, how deeply and madly in love he is with you. Amen? And only he can do that. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. And the only way that that is going to happen is just like he showed us back in Genesis 24, Rebekah at the well. You have to hear the proposal. Nobody knew about that proposal but her at that time. Did you know that? Because she was the only one at the well. She represents the rib portion at the well. She was the one that came. She thirsted. That well speaks of the Word of God. She showed up, and oh, what met her there. Amen? The message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is typed in this. And I thank God that he shows us this, that you have to hear the proposal. You have to have knowledge that the master's son is going to have a wife, is going to have a bride. And praise the Lord that this messenger was sent, praise God, to find her, to minister to her, of this precious encouragement. And thank you, Jesus, that after that's heard, there still must be more, even a follow-through of the encouragement of the love story that only going on with the Holy Ghost can do. Amen? See, wasn't it interesting? See, the Holy Ghost didn't, and that messenger back in Genesis 24, he didn't just come and give the proposal and then leave. Huh? You know, in a sense, that we have that kind of a story here, but God doesn't. He comes and he gives the proposal and he takes you. You got to go. You don't get time to go home and say goodbye and all of this type of thing. This is a love and a first love that's beyond any love that we can even comprehend. Think of that. He came in there and he gave a proposal, and the proposal's requirement was true love. True love that wasn't going to wait. It had to go now, because the true love had to grow. The true love had to be ministered to. It had to be, again, encouraged, and it had to be alone. Amen? And so praise the Lord. There she went. And praise God. That's exactly what the Holy Ghost does in our lives as we go on with the truth. Amen? That's the geyser. That's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Praise the Lord. I'm just going on with Paul's gospel because I had to go. All right, stay with it. Ask ones that have left the fellowship of Paul's gospel and then came back. Did they really forget the message? Or was it the love that waxed cold that really drew them away? You know it. And that's the thing, is you are drawn by God to talk with ones that have, in a sense, departed. Just call it what it is. They've just left that fellowship. God's never left them. But they left the fellowship of the proposal. Did they at one time say, I'll go? Yes, sure. God wouldn't have ministered to them and continued to. But yet the word of God says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Amen. And I want you to get that visual today. Praise God, because the Lord's bringing it to me and encouraging my heart in this. Son, this is the engagement. That isn't the engagement that I proposed. See, I proposed to my wife down in Texas, and you know what happened? I went home. Because I had to go back home. We weren't married yet. But that's why the Lord says, and the wife hath made herself ready. When you hear this message, when you have received this proposal, you go now, don't you? It's kind of like a proposal and a wedding all at the same time. You occupy as a readied wife. You actually take the grace of God and say, oh Lord, I'm calling those things which be not as though they were. Oh my goodness. Can you have confidence in the grace of God like that? Oh, I sure want it. Every hair on my body standing up right now. Oh Lord, keep ministering to me. Thank you, Jesus. But you see, brothers and sisters, you know this. It wasn't that somebody forgot the message. No, it was because of the love waxed cold. Sure, you have to know the truth to go on into the depths of his love. But brothers and sisters, if all you know is the truth and you leave out the joy and the dwelling in the love of the Holy Ghost, you're going to go one of two ways, or you may even go both ways. You leave out the love after knowing the truth, you're going to grow proud. You'll grow harsh. You'll grow self-righteous, or you'll grow cold and you'll grow complacent, and eventually it slips away. God help us to, you know what, brothers and sisters, we got to get with it. By the grace of God, to be encouraged even the more, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. People think about that's just stating something twice. Oh, no, it's not. The vocation, if you look that up and you understand what he's saying there, that's the same thing as he says in Philippians. That's stated in Colossians right there. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Walk worthy of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Walk worthy of the bridal proposal wherewith you are called. Amen? Oh, yes, amen. Now, how do you walk worthy? You stay with it. Amen. I appreciate how brother prays. And I know that that's the word of God. Stay with it. Praise the Lord. I thank God that, you know what, you stay in it. You quit messing around with every wind of doctrine when you walk worthy of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You quit the itching ears for heaps of preachers. And I will say this, brothers and sisters, I hear from time to time, and I have to tell you, it makes me sad. And I'm talking about God's precious people that know the truth. But they recommend, oh, brother, you need to listen to this sermon, or you need to listen to this teacher, or you need to listen to this preacher that has no clue about Paul's gospel. Oh, how could you say that? You think you know everything? No, I know that God's word is everything. And I know it's very simple in what it's saying. But see, they'll say, no, but brother, really, I mean it. It's a good sermon, and I believe it. I believe it is a good sermon. But I'm going to ask you that. Where will it go after that? Where will it go after that good sermon? And the only reason, really, it was a good sermon to you is because God quickened you to hear bridal truth in it that that person that was speaking that didn't know anything about. But here's the rub. You keep going that way, and I'm going to tell you something. It'll finally send leanness to your soul. It's not about eloquent words. It's not about presentation. It's not about, you know, how much sensation we can get in your flesh when something's being said. I thank God for however Christ is preached. But I'll tell you one thing. When you have all truth, when you have the opportunity and the knowledge to eat strong meat, don't eat anything else. Don't eat anything else. Don't. I remember the very first time I was ever encouraged to speak out in Kansas City, and this was many years ago as a young man. And I preached a sermon really similar to this one. Can you imagine? It must be Paul's gospel. And I thank the Lord because I have to say it's not about years, but I thank God how he's kept me in it. But for well over 30 years now, I know that he impressed that in my heart, that there is a love, that it must be Paul's gospel. It must be bridal truth. There isn't anything else. And I remember preaching that sermon, and once I was done, just a young man, probably almost 30 years ago, and there I come down and was after the service, and this pastor that was there, he was visiting, he was from another state, he made a beeline to me like you couldn't believe. And he grabbed me and he said, you know, son, you're too adamant about preaching Paul's gospel. I knew exactly what he was saying. I knew exactly what he was trying to insinuate. But I knew exactly what was in my heart. And I said, thank you, brother. That's all I could say. Praise the Lord. It was one of the greatest compliments of the grace of God that is with me that I've ever received in my life. And it just about floored him. And matter of fact, you know what? And I thank God it shut him up. There wasn't anything else to say. Because God did it. God did it. But here's the sad part. And it has nothing to do with what I'm telling you about, but yet you need to understand this. This was a brother, yes, that, praise God, that went to Bible school, that taught at Bible school. But I'm going to say this because it needs to be said. But the meeting that that brother had is no longer. And why not? Because when we stop standing and panting and our fervency begins to waver from the gospel of the glory, Amen. The first love will go away. It'll be gone. It's just what the word of God is. Brothers and sisters, Paul's gospel is an engagement courtship. See, when we date, we might date other people because we're dating. We're trying to maybe find somebody in our lives. But when you're engaged, it's one and one only. It is. You don't get engaged and say, well, I'm going out with somebody else tonight, but we're still engaged. No, you won't be. No, you won't. And but this is just as what it is, because see, Christ's bride will be the one and only. She is the one and only. And the definition, brothers and sisters, of first love, understand this. The definition of first love is there's no other love but one. That's the definition of first love. There's no other love but one. You can try to twist that. You can try to figure that out. It's just like when people have told me, well, you know, it's God first and this second, and this has got to be third and fourth and fifth. There ain't no second, third, fourth, or fifth. It's God first. That's it. Amen? And boy, I'm telling you, I'm so thankful I know that. Because I'm too insufficient to worry about what would be second or third. I get so messed up in my brain to try to figure out the rest. I'm so thankful that I've got the head that's got it all in order. And as long as he's first, there ain't nothing else. Now listen, as we wrap this up, I want to make sure we understand this, and really, and God know that we appreciate. Yes, you must be saved to go on into the truth. You must be born again. You must be born of God. Amen. To go on into the truth. And I pray that I am speaking to a whole host of evangelists right now. Because yes, I am a pastor, but by the grace of God, I evangelize on an airplane, oftentimes in a restaurant, amen, time to time in my neighborhood. They don't come out of their houses much anymore, but, is an evangelist defined by how many? Or defined by what you're evangelizing? Amen. Praise God. So, see, we understand this. Don't try to lock God in your tiny little mind. Don't do that. He's too wonderful. Let the mind of Christ be in us. But see, I appreciate that. And I get it. You must be saved to go on into the truth. Yes. Amen. But you know, Paul's gospel, it includes it all. You think about 1 Timothy 2:4. What could be more clear and inviting than that? That he would have all men to be saved. Amen? What about Romans 10:13? I love that. I think it's as direct as any verse on salvation there could ever be. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A few verses back from that, it says to confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. But then, praise God, he goes down to say, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Paul's gospel. That's Paul's gospel. Amen? So I thank God. That's very clear there. But brothers and sisters, it's the power of the Holy Ghost in the fullness of Paul's gospel that is the mark. That is the bullseye. And by the grace of God, we need to keep in it. We need to get more of it. And by the grace of God, we only need to preach it. Because there is no other gospel to preach. What do we not want to receive of that? Why would I want to preach anything else? Why would you want to hear anything else? Amen? Praise God. And I appreciate it. And it's not to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. But even precious ones that have come in as of late. Looking around, praise God. You never heard this. You never knew this. But yet, here's lives that have been in here for how many years that have known this. And why? Because they preached it. Because they've been taught it. And why are they still in it? Because that's all that's preached by the grace of God. And the same is the truth for those that had preached it for a while and then said, well, wait a second here. Maybe we're not growing. Maybe there's not enough people coming in. Maybe, you know, this or that. And then what happens then too is sometimes you can even get, you know, you can think that, well, I need to be more bold in preaching it just in myself. And then I get harsh. And then the same thing just happened. It was a subtle thing. The love left, and praise God, the passion to go on is gone. And then it goes away. Amen. Amen. Truth in love. Truth in love. The word of his grace. Isn't that amazing? And all Paul's gospel. Praise the Lord. Now to finish this. So brothers and sisters, there's no other gospel. And don't you want the most holy faith? Amen. If there is anything you want the most of, I want the most of Jesus. How about you? I want the most of everlasting. Amen. I've tried to get the most out of this life at times. But I understand, you know what? First of all, that ain't going to happen because God loves me too much. And second of all, I can't. And he prevents me, again, in his faithfulness. But now we're talking about the eternal forever. Don't I want the most out of it? Don't I want the most holy faith when he says I can have that? Don't you want the most set apart and sanctified and holy walk with God? I do. Because I know there isn't anything so rich, there isn't anything so mighty. Don't you want, as you read the Word of God and know these wonderful, absolute things that have happened, these events, these assurances of the Word of God, the miracles, if you want to call them, because they really are, all of them to man, whether it was ones being raised from the dead or walking across to dry ground, walking across to sea or walking on water, you'd say, I want that. You'd be nuts to say, I don't want that. I want that. I want that for my life. I want that assurance for my life. I want that faith to believe without any doubt that nothing's impossible for God. Amen? I don't go to church because I want half of that. I don't hear the Word of God because I just want a little bit of it. By the grace of God, I believe this. I want all of it. I want all of it. I want to believe all the Word of God. I thank the Lord. I don't want to mess around with this. I want all the Word of God. I want all truth. Well, then I'm going to tell you something that you already know. Then it must be Paul's gospel. It must be Paul's gospel, the paramount of truth, the pinnacle of sanctification, and praise be to God, and keeping in the Holy Ghost. Keeping in delirious love. Amen. See, as you go on with more truth, what do you need? I need more love. I can't handle the truth without the love. It's the truth. Come on. I keep getting more truth without more love. I'm going to grow cold. I'm going to grow proud. I need more humility, don't I? Just more in awe. Speaking with a brother, you know, that just about the Lord. Thank God for who you are and be real of who you are. You know, I never want to stumble you or anything of that nature, but by the grace of God, if I'm not the vessel, in a sense, of Christ in Jesse, the hope of glory, I can't be Christ in Dwayne, the hope of glory, or Christ in Brother Hill, the hope of glory. That was Christ in that vessel, Christ in that vessel, Christ in this vessel. That's the beauty about it. That's the wonder of it all. But brothers and sisters, I've got to keep in that delirious love, because without that love, I'm going to slumber. Without that love, I'm going to close just one eye. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to close one eye. I'm finding him too beautiful and too lovely. I've been realizing more and more how merciful He is to me and how gracious He is to me. And by the grace of God, I am not blinking an eye. By the grace of God, I'm living alive. By the grace of God, I'm living longing. And by the grace of God, I'm going to live loving His appearing. Now, people will say, oh, brother, that's a bold statement to make. Well, I'll tell you what. If you ain't bold in the grace of God that's with you, I feel sorry for you. Because by the grace of God, that's where I'm going to stand. And that's when I'm going to meet Him in the air. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus that, Lord, this is what You have given. Lord, we thank You for the encouragement that we do know because of the word of Your grace, because of Your truth and love, because of Spirit in truth, Lord God. We're so thankful, Lord, that You have called us this way and, again, circled us. And truly, I love it. You have severed us out. I'm grateful to God that we have come unto You out from among the camp. And, Lord, we're way out there, way, way, way out there, hallelujah, because of You. And, Lord, that's what the Holy Ghost does. And Lord, let us just keep on keeping on, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. And I know, believing that, it's just a joy. It's a joy that You've called us. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's the joy unspeakable and full of glory, even in the wilderness, even in the valley of the shadow of death, in the furnaces, in the lion's den. Lord, thank You, God. It is a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it's all because of You, Jesus. It's all because of the word of Your grace. Thank You for it. Let us praise You for it. Let us go on in it. And we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.